in the name Lord Jesus I speak. For this session, we are going to continue with our reading of 2 Peter. I think on Sunday, we did chapter 1. So today we are going to look at chapter 2. Just to recap what we have learned on Monday, I think we mentioned quite a few key points in chapter 1, right? Now the first one is in chapter 1, verse 1. Here, Peter talks about, you know, the faith that they receive is of the same value. Right? So meaning the community of faith share the same belief, and the belief must be of the same value. Right, that's the first point we talk about. And the second point is from verse 2 to verse 4, how Christ has done everything that he could and to save us from corruptions. Right? And for that reason, we have to pursue spiritual cultivation as mentioned from verse 5 all the way to verse 11. Right? Example include self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Yeah. Okay, now the third point we mentioned is in verse 12, right? And here it talks about Peter encouraging the believers to understand that their faith or their belief has been established in the present truth. Meaning the truth that they have received, right? So the truth that they have received, or the truth that we have received today, should establish us in Christ Jesus, all right? So we thank God because the church has been given the complete truth of salvation, right? So by building ourselves onto this foundation, then we find that we shall be fully established, right? And that's the point. Now, the next one is, the fourth point we mentioned is from verse 16 onward, yeah? That how this word of God was passed down from the Father to Jesus and then to the Apostle and eventually to the brethren who are receiving the word of Peter. Now, and in verse 20 and 21 here, it talks about the prophecy of the scriptures is of no private interpretation, right? Now, whatever we interpret or whatever inspiration we have been given should bring about a very important result. And what is that result? It brings about the maturity of Christ in our heart, as mentioned in verse 19, right? So whatever we have, whatever we have received, first should be of the same value. And secondly, as we can see in verse 19, it should bring about what? The maturity of Christ in us, meaning the virtues of Christ, yeah, must be brought about. Okay? Now we come to chapter 2. We can look at verse 1 to briefly, verse 1 to verse 3. Here Peter was warning the believers against false prophets amongst the people, and there are two sources of false prophets according to scriptures, and the first is from out with the community of faith, which we can also see in Acts chapter 20. Yeah, so before you know, Paul left, he actually wept and cried together with the elders from Ephesus, right, and saying that after his departure, savage wolves would come in. Right, so that is from external source. Right? Probably we can look at that, that account given in Acts chapter 20. We can turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now in verse 30, the following verse, he also says, Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. You know, the second source is from within the community of faith. Now, we know that right before the second coming of Christ, this thing will continue on. It will, you know, in terms of frequency, you know, it will increase. So, I think, you know, to get ourselves prepared, we must what? Put ourselves in the Word of God, right? And so that we can stand against all, whatever is thrown at us, with the presence of God and with the help of the Lord, and being rooted in the faith, we find that we are able to stand firm. Alright? Now here in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter likewise talks about the same thing. He said that in verse 1, there will be false teachers among you, meaning amongst the community, or even amongst the diaspora Jews, those who are scattered in Asia Minor. These people would come in, but would secretly bring in destructive heresies. Right? Now, the sad fact is that, according to Peter, in verse 2, he said, many will follow. Right? It's like this is an inevitability. Right? People will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Right? So, you find that when they come in, obviously they come in a very secretive manner, right? And they will hide their, you know, their tracks or whatever, and so that no one could really identify them. But for us to know how to discern, there's only way, apart from the mercy of God, we must know the truth, right? We must know what we believe in, yeah, so that we will not be tossed here and there, yeah, by the false prophets. No. You find that when they come in, yeah, when they come in, you know, judging from verse 1 to verse 3, at least two things they will do. The first one is to deny the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Yeah? They will deny the Lord who brought them. Okay. Now, the denying here can appear in different forms, right? They can deny the work of God, or they can deny the word of God, or again, they can deny, you know, even the salvation plan that God has for the church. Okay? That's the first thing that, you know, the first, the false prophet will do. And in fact, that this bear tremendous resemblance to the one mentioned in Jude, verse 4. Okay, we can turn to Jude. These two chapters actually are pretty similar to one another. Right? Very similar to one another. We can look at this 4. Jude verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, with long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness, and here he says again, and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Meaning that they don't believe that the Lord God is the only one. Maybe judging from verse 4. Right? So this is the first thing that the false prophet will do. Now the second, I want you to read 2 Peter. We turn back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 2. Right. Look at verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Okay? Now, so because of their presence in the community, obviously we find that the way of the truth is blasphemed, okay? Or the way of the truth is blurred, you know, it is erased, and people could no longer see, or the word of truth is belittled, put to shame, put it this way, right? Just like what is mentioned in Daniel as well. Yeah? So once they get a foothold, yeah, in the temple of God, what happens? And according to Daniel, then the truth will be thrown down. Right? The truth will be thrown down. And so, it's like, you know, the truth of God is rendered ineffective, is rendered useless, is no longer to be believed on yet anymore. Right? So we find that this is the work of the false prophet. Okay? Now, so from verse 4 onwards, you can see that the consequences or the result of those who believe in this falsehood. And many Old Testament examples are cited here, you know, to serve as a warning, obviously, to the immediate listener at the time, but also as a warning to us today who believe in the truth of God. Okay, I think there is a very interesting inclusion here. If you read this 4, yeah, because here it talks about angels, right? So we look at verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. We find that God shows no mercy to the sinning angels. They were what? They were bound in darkness. And it's like, you know, they were cast into darkness to await for the judgment of the Lord to come. Okay. I think the same description with variation is mentioned in verse 6 of Jude. Let's look at verse 6 of Jude. Jude verse 6. And the angel who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Right? It seems like they were bound. Now, what does it mean to be bound in the context of the scriptures? Right? I think there is an account given in, what is it? 1 Peter, right? Chapter 3. We are told that the Spirit of Christ went to preach to those spirit in the prison in the time of what? In the time of Noah. Meaning, yeah, God made use of Noah to preach to his generation. Right? Now, why does the Bible say that they were in prison? Because they were in sin, right? So for those who are in sin, they are likened to be in prison in the spiritual sense, right? Now, so if you read Revelation chapter 18, right? Now, we take a Babylon to be the world for the time being, okay? And look at who actually lived in this Babylon. And how does the Bible describe this place? Right? Now we look at verse chapter 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons. Yeah? NKJV says, a prison, right, for erring foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Right, so this world, the world of sin, actually is a prison in the eyes of God. Because this foul spirit, this unclean spirit, they are not able to return to God. So in that sense, they are bound. Right? Now, it's not like what we think, you know, when a person is bound, it's like, you know, his hand, his feet are chained together. And it's not that. Okay? So when these people are bound, or the demons are bound, or angels are bound, meaning that they are not able to return to what? To God. Yeah? Right? Because they are in darkness. Right? That is the idea of being bound. Okay? Now, we turn back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Here it talks about some of the characteristics, yeah, of the false prophets. Right? Now, I want you to read, we jump a bit because of time factor. I want you to read verse 10. We come back to chapter 2, verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they are presumptuous, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Right? Now, also read verse 12. But these, like natural brutes, beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, I think one of the characteristics here is quite distinct, in the sense that what? These people, they show no regards to what? To authority. Right? They speak evil of dignitaries. Now, dignitaries here literally mean what? The glorious one. Right? And those who are leading you know, the church and so on and so forth. So they are not afraid to speak evil, to speak ill of them. Okay? And not only that, we see that, okay, they obviously rally for support, so on and so forth. You know, if you happen to watch the news, yeah, sometimes you see the people you know, take to the street to protest against their own government. When they are questioned by the news reporters, as to why they, take to the street and to protest against authority concerned. Sometimes we find that the answers given or the reasons given are unfounded. Some of them, in fact, majority of them, do not even know why they were there in the first place. Right? It's like they were fighting for something that they are not even clear about. Huh? So you find that these people is like highly emotionally charged up to do something that they are not even sure about. Okay? So I think from the scripture it's quite clear, right, that this is like a trick employed by Satan. You know, in the household of God we are different. And we talk about what? Exhibiting the nature of Christ. Yeah. We are talking about what? Caring for the house of the Lord. Right? But any imperfection in the house of God, we need to what? Learn to accept, or we need to correct one another with the nature of Christ, so on and so forth. Right? Now, as for those who know within the faith, as mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 2, that they speak evil against dignity, they show no regards to anyone. Right? So you find that this is quite scary. You know, when this momentum of voices are gathered together, you can see the power. Okay? It can really, really shaken the heart of a person. Right? Now, so I think as believers of God, right, we must be aware of this, right? Now, for those who speak ill of authority or whatever, according to Peter, the reasons are very simple. They are presumptuous and self-willed, meaning they are proud, right? Meaning God is not in their hearts. Okay, now we read Jude. We turn to Jude, yeah? Right, verse 16. Jude verse 16. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to your own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Right? Now, verse 19. These are sensual person who cause division, not having the spirit. Okay? Now, so it's like the work of the false prophet, eventually you end up, causing themselves not to have the spirit, especially those who are within. Okay, I think it's a very stern warning to all the false prophet and also to us as well. Right? So I think by examining this chapter, at least we are made aware of the danger of speaking against anything that we are not sure about. Okay. So in the household of God, yeah. So we must learn to pray for the church more than anything else. Right? If you see that the church is not perfect, then you should pray to God. We believe that God is in the church, is in control of the church, and God will direct the church. Yeah? You know, in a way that, you know, He wants her to be. Okay? So, but we must work together with God. I think that is very important. Right? Now, so, we are going to pray. I still got one more session, so I will talk about chapter 3 in this session. Right? Now, we are going to pray, so for those who need the laying hands, please don't hesitate to come forward. We also pray especially for Father Wong. He is not well, and he is here. So, our brother from China. So, we ask the Lord to heal him. Please come forward to pray.